My guest at this time is Mark Mix. He is president of the National Right to Work Foundation, and his organization is bringing to light an interesting case from Washington, D.C., in which workers at a particular company decided not to require union dues to be paid, and the union is taking them out of their paychecks anyway. And Mark, thanks very much for being with us.
Glad to be on with you, Greg. Thanks for the opportunity to tell this story.
Well, we're talking about security guards who are filing the suit here. They work at the Ronald Reagan Building in downtown Washington, and their company is Coastal International Security, and they successfully won what's called a deauthorization election against their union, which is the International Union of Security, Police, and Fire Professionals of America, Local 247 to be precise. Explain, first of all, what a deauthorization election is.
Well, Greg, you're well informed on all this, so thanks for that. But a deauthorization election is where the employees get together and they petition to have a vote on whether or not the contract will include a clause that requires them to pay union dues or fees to get or keep a job. In 24 states across the country, including the District of Columbia, you can be required to pay union dues or fees to get or keep a job. And this contract that covered these employees had that provision, and they thought that they weren't getting the representation they deserved or were paying for, so they decided to use what is their right under the National Labor Relations Act to deauthorize the forced collection of fees from this union. Of course, the employees won the election, which means that the union can no longer compel them to pay these dues or fees, but yet the union still is collecting the money even after that vote.
So explain what happened here. What should have been the aftermath of this in terms of the dues, and what actually happened?
Well, basically, after the deauthorization election results were certified, and they basically proved that they had a majority of the workers in the bargaining unit that voted against this continued forced payment of fees, the union and the employer should stop collecting the dues. There's no authorization for this money to be taken out of their paychecks and forwarded to the union by the employer. And yet, since 2015, after this vote, this particular union continues to demand that these workers pay these dues to keep their jobs. And it's interesting. They basically say that you can only get out during a particular window period in the contract, but that's not true under a deauthorization. A deauthorization says, once we say you can no longer take our money, you can't. And it's a little higher standard to get to, and the unions don't like it. But in this case, the workers, a majority of them said that, but yet the workers, the union won't accept their desire to get out of this forced payment of fees.
Now, this deauthorization election actually happened a little over a year ago, November of 2015. So are the dues still being taken out of everybody's paychecks, or is the fight now over the dues that were taken initially but have now stopped being taken out?
Well, as far as we know, they're still being taken out, and that's why we filed the lawsuit, to stop that and to bring this to the attention of the National Labor Relations Board and make sure they understand that these workers have gone through successfully the process that is laid down by the National Labor Relations Act to take this action, and yet they're not getting the union to agree to adhere to what the rules are. So they are currently continuing to take the dues out for a couple of these employees, and there are a lot of other employees, 50, I think, in total, where they're claiming the workers cannot stop the payment because they have not complied with a so-called union window period when they can get out of this. So on behalf of the two employees we're representing and then at least 50 others, they're continuing to take that money out.
Mark, put this in the context of the recent Supreme Court decision, which I know ended in a 4-4 split, so the lower court ruling stood, which was not what you wanted to see there. What is the current policy or law nationwide in terms of compulsory dues?
Well, you have two different laws. The case that was argued in January of this year and was decided 4-4 after Justice Scalia died was a case called Friedrichs, and that was a case out of California where you had California state employees who, seeing a decision in a Supreme Court case that we litigated at the National Right to Work Foundation back in 2014 and won called Harris, basically what that case said was that everything that government unions do is political in nature. And what that means, Greg, is that when a government union starts talking to government about how taxpayer money should be spent, how it should be allocated, how government should be run, they're speaking politically. And if they're speaking politically, then that speech should be protected by the First Amendment. And what that means is government employees who are forced to pay fees to a union to get or keep a job, they are being forced to speak politically against their will. And therefore, this government union activity should be covered by the First Amendment. And if it is, then no worker should be compelled to pay any dues or fees as a condition of getting a job in the government sector. The other part of that is the private sector, where these employees find themselves. They're a private contractor doing the security at the Ronald Reagan Building. The National Labor Relations Act says that workers can be fired for failure to tender dues or fees, and there has not been a Supreme Court case specifically on that point per se, but 26 states now have right-to-work laws, as I mentioned earlier, where these types of agreements where you are compelled to pay this fee to keep your job have been outlawed by the state legislature. They don't stop anyone from joining a union, of course. That is a First Amendment right as well, your right to associate with people you want to associate with. But they will not contemplate the notion that you're forced to pay a fee to a private organization for the privilege of working. So in the public sector, you have this the possibility of a national right-to-work law for all government employees following the legal precedent in the Friedrichs case, and well, the Harris case specifically, in the Friedrichs case that got decided and sent back to the Ninth Circuit. But in the private sector, you have state right-to-work laws as a possible option, and you also have the repeal of the federal law that authorizes compulsory dues. So two different laws, public and private, and two different kind of legal and legislative paths to get to victory there.
A couple quick questions before we let you go, Mark. Looking at the big picture here, when it comes to deauthorization votes, when they actually take place, how often does the group of workers decide that they don't want it to be compulsory?
Well, they don't happen often because it's a very interesting process, and generally workers don't know of their rights, and certainly the unions are not informing of their rights to deauthorize the union. You know, they're told in their contract statements that they are required to be, quote, a member in good standing of the union as a condition of them keeping their job. Well, that language is kind of confusing. We actually had a Supreme Court case on that language. Whether or not language in a contract says you must be a member in good standing is clear to workers that don't have to be formal members of the union, but still can be forced to pay fees. So, you know, deauthorizations occur. They're not, I won't say they're really, really super common because they're hard to get done and there's lots of pushback, and oftentimes the unions will get involved and try to block the workers from exercising their rights, and that's where the foundation comes in. We provide this representation for free to help them through this process. I would say that they're not real common, but they're not rare, as this case exhibits here in Washington, D.C.
And from your experience, since they don't happen that often, I'd be curious to know, when these deauthorization votes succeed, how often do we see examples of what you're now litigating with the folks at Coastal International Security, where the unions simply don't give them their money?
Well, we've seen it before. There's no question about that, Greg. As far as the numbers that occur that we're not involved in, I wouldn't be aware of that, but I'm sure it happens. And fortunately, because of the voluntary support that we get and the fact that we're able to provide free legal representation to employees in situations like this, we get to help many people that go through this process. But certainly, we haven't helped all of them, that's for sure. And we know that more of these cases exist across the country.
Well, it's very important for our listeners to know, and we appreciate you checking in for us. Thanks, Mark, very much.
Thank you, Greg, for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Mark Mix is president of the National Right to Work Foundation. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.